From the Church of the Nazarene and Mesoamerica Genesis, you're listening to the Worthless Servants Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Worthless Servants Podcast. I am Scott Armstrong and I have several friends with me, but they're also terribly worthless servants. And so I'm going to go to the left is AJ Fry.
Hey guys.
And across from me is Freya Galindo.
Hi there.
And Emily Armstrong.
Hey, everyone.
And to my right is the famous, infamous, underrated still after all these episodes, Chelsea Fry.
What's up, Buttercup?
Oh, excellent. Nice.
I like that one.
What was the last one? The physicist?
Yeah.
What's the gist?
What's the gist?
Yeah.
Now they're going to be rhyming.
Yeah,
what's up? Well, that's putting a lot of pressure on her.
Oh, no.
To have to rhyme every time. No, I think it's just
I'm done with this. In the future episodes, please expect fun facts with Chelsea.
This is episode 49.
Yes. Mm.
So you're saying episode 50 will be a new day.
Yes. Think of me as a new woman. I'm a new creation in Christ.
The old is gone, the new has come.
And that's her first fun fact.
That's it.
So I'm intrigued by this, and I hope all of our listeners are as well.
Oh, Chelsea has good fun facts.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're usually kind of
sad. Yeah.
Sad. Yes.
Yeah.
Sad and weird. Sad and weird, I would say.
AJ's heard my fun facts for over 5 years now. What do you think?
They're not always fun.
They are
so
facts,
much
though.
Fun with me.
They are weird, Chelsea.
They are facts.
They are facts. That is not wrong.
Sometimes they're fun, they're not facts.
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes she just makes things up and calls it a fun fact.
You know,
sometimes, most of the times.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that. But first, we have the What's Up Buttercup greeting to finalize our 49th episode. And we are going to talk in this episode. It is very pertinent to right now. We need to talk about something called Lent. Now, many episodes ago, we talked about Advent, and we're not a podcast that necessarily talks about the Christian calendar. We do touch on issues of mission and culture and healthy church, a lot of different things like that. But this time, I really want to talk about Lent, and especially, what does it have to do with missions or ministry or with us as missionaries? And it'll maybe get a little personal, talking about how we've come through the years to learn and appreciate what Lent is. So let's kind of start. What is our understanding of Lent? Why is this important for Christians around the world and for us?
Well, I think one of the ways that Lent is super helpful is it reminds us of the importance of fasting. I don't come from a background that fasts ever. And so dedicating these 40 days, this specific time to say, like, I'm going to be intentional, but then also digging in of what is fasting. So I grew up Catholic, so we did fast in that sense, but it just was like something you were supposed to do. It wasn't this, no one explained like what the purpose was. So now, like as an adult, I recognize, oh, like this should shift my focus. This should shift my ideas of what the season is about. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that physical reminder. If I'm fasting from food and my stomach's growling, like this reminder of what's to come. Mm-hmm. Or if it's social media, my lack of knowledge of what my friends is doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, like that's because I'm being intentional to focus on this big event that's to come.
There are several things you mentioned that I think we should highlight. You first of all said 40 days. So this starts with what we call Ash Wednesday and then moves until Holy Week through Holy Week into, I was going to say from my Spanish, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Easter is what it's called. It's not a literal 40 days, but it's 40 days and then not including the Sundays.
Yes.
And so we mentioned that, but you also said it's a time of denying ourselves, of fasting, not always of food. Many traditions say, yes, you can't eat meat, or yes, you need to deny yourself from some type of food. But are there other ways of fasting? And perhaps the more important question is, why would we do this? Why is this an important thing to do?
I think a part of the Christian calendar in general, when you say that this is something that I'm going to observe, that it creates space to do something or to be different or to think a thought that you've not had before. And the Lenten season for me has, it's not something that I grew up with at all, like in the evangelical church in the United States. I honestly can't even say that I remember as a child or a teen even seeing people on Ash Wednesday that would have ashes on their forehead. Mm-hmm. Like maybe as I got older, I saw it a little bit more, but not enough to, as a teenager, be like, oh, today's Ash Wednesday. And it just was not a piece of my evangelical culture at all. And I was in a Christian school and I was a huge part of youth group. And it's not something we talked about and explored, but as we move into the Lenten season, it gives us like this space to really consider and to think. And it forces you into a rhythm for those 6 weeks mm-hmm. of, so what is this rhythm going to be? And it's something that should take us out of our normal and put us into something abnormal. And so for me, kind of that fasting is, a lot of people do take it as taking something off. But even Scott, when you said, you know, it's in multiple different varieties, I remember one year when I was learning about it as a young adult, I took on the habit of writing a note of encouragement every single day. I had to think of somebody for 46 days mm-hmm. that I hand wrote a note to. And sometimes I could give it to them because it was somebody that I saw. But other times I had to put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. And that was a really good practice for me because it filled me up with something that I wasn't doing intentionally. And I think I was formed by it because it really gave me an awareness. I had so many people say, your letter came at just the right time. Or how did you know that, like, that's something that I needed? And it made me aware as a young person of like, man, this is a practice worthy of doing, not just during a 46-day Lenten season, but like bringing it in as a part of my Christian formation. But Lent is what provoked that for me at that moment in time.
There's a passage in Luke 9 that I always come back to with regards to Lent. And really, Luke is moving along and there are miracles and there is teaching. And there seems to be a transition around Luke 9. And Jesus starts to talk about his death. He really is trying to help his disciples to know, this is why I have come. And even in verse 51 of chapter 9, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And I think in Lent, it is a time for us to resolutely set out along with him to Jerusalem, knowing a cross awaits for us, knowing that the sacrifice that will be coming. But honestly, I think, Emily, as you said, in the evangelical church, we proclaim, of course, in all Christian church, but we proclaim a risen Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard in a lot of places, why would you ever need to talk about the cross very much then? I mean, why would you even need to deny yourself in that way and start to think about sacrifice in that same way? No, this is a joyful time. We should be celebrating. What is the benefit to taking these days, these weeks, to saying, we're going to go with him to the cross. We're going to walk with him and reflect on these things and deny ourselves in different ways, even if it is denying our own time and taking time to write words of encouragement or whatever. Why is this valuable? Have you seen it to be valuable in your lives as you've made that same trip towards Jerusalem?
I think when we break our rhythm of what we're used to doing, our habits, we become uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And with the teams that Chelsea and I host, I always say that when we're out of our comfort zone, we see God work the most. Not that he's not working other times, but when we're uncomfortable, we're more aware to his presence. We're more aware of his will for our lives. And I think when we give up something or when we take on something new and we kind of change our habit and our rhythm, but with the intention of focusing more on God and focusing more on hearing his voice and focusing on that sacrifice, then we understand our relationship with God deepens and we are more not to sound too hippie, but more in tune, you know, with what God wants from us.
Good. Yeah, we should celebrate resurrection, but also we need to focus on what happened before that, mm-hmm. and what was the cost of that. And sometimes we're not, like, maybe during Holy Week, we're aware of that, but mm-hmm. that's just it, you know, mm-hmm. that week from Palm Sunday to Easter. But to me, it had made a difference because I feel like I'm experiencing God differently during mm-hmm. Lent. Not only during Holy Week, mm-hmm. but before that. Mm-hmm. And so, I have to mention that before I thought that Lent was like a Catholic practice. It was the same perspective that I have with Advent. Mm-hmm. Because in Mexico, we think that those are not like evangelical practices.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But really, a lot of evangelicals would say, oh, we do not practice
Lent
because it's Catholic.
Yeah, a lot of people think like that. And I used to think like that too, mm-hmm. because that's what we've been thought. That's only for Catholic, mm-hmm. or the Catholic Church does that, but mm-hmm. you don't. We don't. Mm-hmm. And so now I know that that's not like that. It helped me to grow in my spiritual relationship with mm-hmm. God.
You know, I think as missionaries, it's something that when we really wrap our mind around what the Lenten season brings to us, is Jesus came with a mission, mm-hmm. and his mission was to die on the cross. And so like those last 46 days of his walk to the cross, like he was finishing his mission, and his words on the cross of "it is finished" is finishing the mission. And I think for us as missionaries, we need to have a deep theology mm-hmm. of the 40 days, the 46 days of the walk to the cross, because so much of our life should be reflective of that. That to be able to say, wow, when Jesus was born on earth as a man, he came with a goal. He came with a mentality of the mission is to be completed, you know? And so we as missionaries to walk that every single season during Lent of that renewed, you know, we think about it at Advent time of he came with a mission, but then the Lenten season is he finished the mission. That should be important to us as missionaries mm-hmm. of like, we don't just do the daily drudge and like, oh, well, whatever happens, but like we should live with intentionality of like, what finishes the mission? What has God asked us to do? Mm-hmm. And so the Lenten season, even as missionaries, to me has had a really important impact of just reminding me that Jesus's time on earth was not just biding time. It was like intentional practice of this is what I came to do. This is the time when God the Father has said, it's going to be culminated here. And I still walk forward in obedience. And I do that. And I know what's coming. And I still will say yes to that. And I think his struggle that we see in the garden speaks immensely to us, even as missionaries, as Christians, of when we continue to say yes to God. There's going to be times that God says, this is the mission. Like, don't forget, this is the mission. And we're going to be like, wow, that's kind of uncomfortable. And he says, but I still want you to obey. I still want you to obey. And that's what made Jesus perfect, is he obeyed 100%. Whenever the Father told him something, he obeyed. And as missionaries, living that, walking that, the Lenten season for me is always very special, thinking about finishing the mission, finishing well in obedience.
That's really well said, Emily, because a lot of times I feel as ministers or even just as Christians in general that we just get caught up in the busyness of life. There's not much of a rhythm. I mean, there are rhythms, but the rhythms are more secular. Mm-hmm. The rhythms are dictated more by our job, our university, our, you know, our family. And I believe the Christian calendar, and especially Lent, most significantly for me, has been the way to say, oh no, my rhythm, everything around me says, first of all, that you are worth whatever you can produce, right? Mm-hmm. That denial is ridiculous. Advertising tells us, buy anything you want.
You're worth it.
Yes, you are worth it. Exactly. Mm. Invest in this because it will make your life better. Mm. It will make you different. It will make you happy. Mm-hmm. And Lent defies that vehemently. Lent says, I choose to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. Jesus has called me to sacrifice. And I, sure, in thanks and in joy for what he has done for me. But instead of just accepting that and then saying, therefore, I'm just going to go on and forget about it, I am forced to deny myself in that time and to accompany him. And I think that is so important as Christians, but I think that is also even more important perhaps for us as ministers of the gospel, as missionaries. Mm-hmm. Even as missionaries, it can get into the same. I'm thinking about Chelsea and AJ, I'm thinking about your teams. You literally have about 8 months here, right, that have just started, that you will have a team, you'll have 4 or 5 days, and then you'll have another team, and you'll have 4 or 5 days. And that rhythm, encouraged to know that you've already programmed in Sabbath and other ways. But if there is not something above you that is saying, oh no, your rhythm isn't dictated by the next team that comes. Your rhythm is dictated by the Word of God and by the Christian calendar, then I think you even would be more prone to be absorbed into that. Do you guys sense that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I am a person of rhythm and routine, and I like it and I like being spontaneous too. You can have both. But I think the idea of Lent is like putting on the brakes of my routine, and it's a good thing. Like, it's refreshing and it makes me wake up, because it's so easy to just get into a pattern of like, okay, we're getting ready for a team. Now we're putting everything away, and we're getting ready for the next team, and we're putting everything away, and we're getting ready for the next team. And so then there's this season that we shift. At least my prayer time and my focus time needs to shift and say, like, no, prepare your heart. Your Savior is going to the cross. Like, get ready.
Wow.
And I just hear this question over and over in my head. Like, are you ready to go to the cross? Are you prepared? Have you done the pre-work? And I think that's a huge piece of Lent, is getting myself to say, like, ooh, like, what's the point of this whole year? What's the point of the mission? Is it just for the resurrection day, or is it to like reflect on what Christ did for his entire life, the days leading up to the cross, the years of his ministry? So that's cool to then tailor the way that we work with our teams with that perspective.
Yeah. That, as you were speaking, it reminded me, it made me think of Peter. He said he was willing to go to the cross, but it was on his own terms. Really, actually, he didn't say that. He said, I should clarify. He said he was willing to die. No, I too will die with you, you know? And that's when Jesus said, no, you're actually going to deny me 3 times. He was passionate about it. I feel like Lent helps us to not be Peter in that instance. Lent helps us to say, we're thinking through this. We are truly meditating and reflecting on this, and the significance of dying to ourselves, the significance of doing this. It's not just a rash decision of, no, just count on me, Jesus. It's truly a deep contemplative focus on who he is and who we must be. Are there any other thoughts that you would have, especially as kind of we go into this Lenten season? Do you have any kind of final thoughts or challenges perhaps for our listeners?
I think one of the things that I've been thinking about as I've been listening to the conversation is, I think it's okay for the church to have a space every year to say we are almost in mourning, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes because we do proclaim and we believe the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that it's okay to spend that time. And that's one thing that I do like about the Christian calendars. It says it's okay to do this. And it brings us back to the sacrifice again of the redemption was complete. Like, we can't be who we are in living in resurrection power without the cross first. Like, you can't forsake it. But I think so often about when we read the passage of Jesus continually told the disciples about his death, the impending, what was coming, we're going to Jerusalem. They knew that Jerusalem meant death for a prophet like Jesus. Like, they knew these things. But I can just imagine them like walking along, like not even thinking about it of like, oh, well, that's not going to be us. You know, like, you must have another story or another way. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I almost see them as kind of like the puppies that are just kind of following along and, you know, just are oblivious to what is going on. And Jesus is like, no, I'm even telling you, I'm looking you in the face. I say it four times. I'm going to die, you know, but I'm going to raise again, you know? And so I think there's a space for the church to say, it's okay to have Sundays, even five Sundays in a row, that we think about Christ's death on the cross and his sacrifice, because all of the other Sundays of the year we celebrate and we live in his resurrection power. And I think some churches are afraid to rest there for 5 weeks, maybe 1 week. It's okay if you're going to preach about the cross for 1 week, but 5 weeks in a row, that's a lot. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to a lot of congregations. But I think it's a challenge more should take up. I think a lot more should say, what would happen if our church walked for five Sundays the way of the cross? What would our Easter resurrection service be? It wouldn't be about the egg hunt that you're offering to the community that week. I can tell you that. You would be ready for Christ to raise from the dead. You would be ready to say,
yes,
wow, I am ready to get out of this death.
Yes.
I can't be here anymore. I can't exist in death. And I think that's the way we need to feel. I think sometimes when we live in life so much, we forget what it is to live in death. And so allowing ourselves to say, I can't. I'm so tired of living in death. Like, I have to have a savior that conquers it. And our resurrection services can and should be very, very powerful. It should be one of the most powerful Sundays of our entire year. But it takes living in death to recognize again the need for a savior.
Yeah, there, I just had a friend that posted on Facebook. She is pregnant, almost due, 2 weeks, and she'll have her baby. And she, on Sunday morning, the message was about how you cannot have joy without sorrow. Because without sorrow, joy is just meh. But with the sorrow comes joy. And they have lost three babies before this. So this is their miracle baby. And she's full, I mean, she's full term. And that's just what that reminds me of. The resurrection is so much richer when we recognize that death came. Death existed. And it's, I think of all the people that don't know the Lord, and I'm constantly asking myself, what is their purpose? Like, what, how do you wake up every morning? And so to set aside time to like really process that just makes that Sunday so much richer. This is why I live. This is what I, this is my purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. The call to discipleship is a call to die, to come and die. And Lent reminds us of that. This has been a little heavier episode, I know, but it's been super important. If you would like to talk with us, you can get a hold of us at mesoamericagenesis.org. Also, we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, and maybe just let us know how you are observing Lent in this season. Sometimes we're uncomfortable with maybe, oh, what are you giving up? Or what have you? It shouldn't just be even a habit. Even this can just become kind of a habit or a ritual or a to-do list. But maybe you can say, ah, this year, I really look forward to this being meaningful in this way, you know, and we'll do the same. We'll interact with you there. I think that's it. We are the Worthless Servants. I'm Scott Armstrong.
I'm AJ Fry.
I'm Emily Armstrong.
I'm Freya Galindo.
And I'm Chelsea Fry.
And we will talk to you next time.
For more information, visit us on Facebook or at mesoamericagenesis.org.